Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Good Morning Live. I am so glad that you are with me today. Today, we are continuing our journey through the Gospel of Mark. And today, we are coming to one of those moments where Jesus walks into ordinary life and changes everything. And I love that because I don't know about you, but most of the time, God does not interrupt people while they are doing something spectacular, right? He interrupts them while they are doing something ordinary. And that's really what this whole series that we've been kind of walking through is about, that it's not complicated to follow Jesus. Jesus steps into our ordinary. He uses the ordinary. He comes into our everyday. And I believe that he interrupts people not when they're doing something extraordinary, but when they're doing something ordinary, while they're working or fishing or taking care of responsibilities. They are doing what they have always done, just being consistent. And then suddenly Jesus comes walking by, and that means your ordinary day may not be as ordinary as you think. And I just love that because even the scripture says, you know, suddenly those who sat in darkness, suddenly they saw a great light. And we love suddenly, but, you know, we think suddenly is a spectacular moment, but they were just sitting. They were just doing what they were doing, all that they could do. And then suddenly, an ordinary day, you can find a suddenly of God. And man, when God steps in, that means your ordinary day may not be as ordinary as you think. You may have started this morning thinking, just another day. I know yesterday was Sarah's first day off from teaching at home with all of the kids. And it was just a few hours in, I got a call that said, I don't know if I can do this all summer. And I said, that's all right. They can come to the church with me sometimes. And, you know, because, man, just sometimes our ordinary day, we wake up, we're thinking, this is just how it is. This is how it's going to be, right? Another cup of coffee, another drive to work, another set of responsibilities, another list of things to get done. But what if, let me just submit this to you, what if this is a day where the Lord speaks something to your heart? What if this is a day where the Word of God calls you into a deeper level of surrender? What if this is a day where Jesus says, follow me, and something shifts in your heart? So don't treat this like background noise today, but really lean in, because one word from God, come on, somebody, one word from God can turn an ordinary day into a turning point. Today, I want to talk about this thought. The adventure of surrender. The adventure of surrender. Now listen, I understand when most people hear the word surrender, they think loss. They think, okay, what are we? Are we going into another fast? Do I have to give something up? They think missing out. But in the kingdom of God, surrender is not where adventure ends. Surrender is where adventure actually begins. And the greatest adventure you will ever live is not a life built around your own control. It is a life surrendered to the will of God. Because when you surrender to Jesus, you do not always know, come on, where he is going to lead you. That's why this is where the adventure really begins. I wanted to pull out today and play it on the live, that 1990s era song, Saddle Up Your Horses, We've Got a Trail to Blaze. And then I realized, not everybody's going to get it. But if you were around in the 90s, you know that, like, this, we've got a trail to blaze. This is the adventure. And really, the adventure in the Christian life is always on the backside of a deeper surrender to God. Come on, the Christian life is not meant to be quiet and boring and mundane. And yeah, there's faithfulness. Yeah, there's consistency. Yes, all of that is a part of it. But when you're following God truly surrendered, Come on, he will take you to places where you never thought you could go, situations that you just wouldn't even imagine was possible. Right? But when we're unsurrendered, when we resist, you know, that just following the Lord, your will, not mine, your kingdom come, not mine, we hold ourselves back from really following the journey. So we may not always know where he is going to lead, but you do know this. He is good. He is faithful. He is Lord. And all things work together for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's why I love Romans 8:28, where it says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, right? And that's where we begin today, not with fear or with striving, not with control, but with surrender. So let's go back to the Gospel of Mark, because that's where we've been hanging out. Chapter 1, today we're going to go to verse 16 through 18. And here's what it says. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. For Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. And then Mark continues in verse 19 to 20. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. I absolutely love this passage. It's not a long passage, but I believe it is loaded with revelation. Jesus sees ordinary men, and Jesus calls ordinary men. And ordinary men step into their extraordinary assignment. I'm going to say that again. Ordinary men in this moment step into an extraordinary assignment. And I believe, listen, I believe that the call of God often comes in ordinary moments. In ordinary moments, when Mark says Jesus was simply walking by the Sea of Galilee, Simon and Andrew were casting their nets, James and John were mending their nets. In other words, they were at work, they were doing what fishermen do. Right? This wasn't a conference. This wasn't camp meeting. This was not a temple service. This was not a religious event. This was a normal work day. And Jesus walked right into it. And that tells us something, come on, very important, that God is not limited to what we call spiritual settings. Yes, he speaks in church. Yes, he'll speak to us in worship. Yes, God speaks when we are praying. Why? Because it's a conversation. But he also speaks while we're working. He speaks while we're raising children. He speaks while we're driving. He speaks while we're doing the next faithful thing in front of us. I remember, you know, I've often preached this. You know, there have been five times in my life so far, I'm believing for more, where I have heard the voice of God, and it wasn't a tangible booming, you know, voice, but where I just was overcome. I knew that this was the voice of God. Now, I follow the voice of God. I pray to discern the voice of God, but typically it's the inner knowing in your spirit that this is what God is leading. But five times I have just heard a sentence or a statement in my heart or my mind that I knew was the will of God. And what's funny is two of them was driving. One time I was driving, I'll never forget the road, because when God speaks, he always marks the spot. When he really speaks, you never forget where you were. One time I'm just turning off, I remember, never forget, Accomack Road in York County. And the Lord said to me, clear as day, if you do this, you will be in rebellion. And that was okay. Yes, sir. Got it, writing on the wall. But an ordinary day, I'll never forget turning. Another day, my wife Sarah and I were turning into the Hope City Church parking lot. Nothing spiritual was happening. We weren't interceding. We weren't praying. We had prime country, if you have Sirius XM, you know, 80s, 90s country music. Yep, that's right where I, that's my vein. Playing in the car, nothing spiritual happening. I'll never forget turning into the parking lot of the church and the Spirit of the Lord said, you'll never be here again. And it was so jarring. I stopped and I said, this is what God just said. And at the time I'm thinking, what does that mean? We're never coming back here again. Are we leaving? And then, you know, later on in prayer, I really felt like it was a spiritual thing. We'll never be on this plane. We'll never be at this level again. We're advancing and we'll never be there that way again. And, you know, I remember one time, I was walking and I was coming out of a church service, going through a very difficult season of life. And I remember saying to the Lord, God, I'm so glad that I held on to you through this. And I'll never forget, he immediately responded and said, it's not that you held on to me, it's that I held on to you. And again, it wasn't an audible booming voice, but those sentences came into my mind and I just knew. It was like a God moment, right? And I'm just submitting that because, again, in all of my times where I have had those encounter God supernatural moments, those tangible speaking moments, and I'm a pastor. I wasn't leading a church service. I wasn't in intercession. We weren't in deep worship. And yes, hear my heart. God speaks in all of that. But for me, in all of those moments, they were ordinary moments. Country music, pride and country, playing on the radio. And God spoke. And so that's what I'm going to submit to us today, that these men, these disciples, these men were not sitting around waiting for an opportunity to look spiritual. What were they doing? They were being faithful in their current assignment. And listen, friends, that matters. Why? Because faithfulness in the natural often positions you for the next thing that God wants to do in the supernatural. Oh, I'm going to say that again. Faithfulness in the natural often positions you for the next thing God wants to do in the supernatural. Man, some people want a bigger assignment, but they're careless with the assignment that they already have. But listen, these men were working. They were casting their nets. They were mending their nets. They were showing up. And Jesus called them, hear me on this today, from the middle of their faithfulness. Never despise where you are right now. Never despise an ordinary season. Never despise the hidden work. Never despise the place where nobody is applauding you. Why? Because the Lord knows where you are. He knows your address. He knows exactly where your boat is. He knows where your business is. He knows about your obedience. And when it is time, he knows how to walk in and call you forward. Listen. An ordinary day becomes holy ground when Jesus speaks. So be faithful where you are. I think of Moses, before God called Moses to lead the Israelites out. I mean, what an assignment. He was just simply walking on the backside of the desert, a place where he had always been, and suddenly there was a burning bush. It wouldn't have been abnormal to see a bush in the middle of a dry, hot desert catch fire. But what was different is a voice speaking from the bush that said, Moses, take the shoes off. An ordinary day, backside of the desert, probably taking care of his sheep. And suddenly, in the middle of his faithfulness, I love this today. In the middle of his faithfulness, in the middle of just doing what he was the assignment in front of him, God turned that ordinary day and turned it around. So an ordinary day becomes holy when it becomes holy ground when Jesus speaks. So I'm going to encourage you, be faithful where you are. Keep your heart tender. Keep your ears open because God may use what looks ordinary to lead you into something eternal. Now look at who Jesus called here. Simon, Andrew, James, John. Four fishermen, not religious elites, not scholars from Jerusalem, not political leaders, not people with impressive resumes, but simple fishermen. Matter of fact, they were blue-collar workers, a little rough around the edges. You know, I would submit they probably had some country music playing in their boats as well. Right. But they were ordinary men. And I love this. Why? Because it gives hope to the rest of us. God uses ordinary people. He calls ordinary people. He anoints ordinary people. God works through ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 1 says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. So in other words, God chooses what the world overlooks. God chooses what people underestimate. God chooses people who know that they simply need him. And when you look at these disciples, they weren't perfect. Peter, if you study the scripture, Peter was impulsive. Peter talked too much. He was strong-willed. Peter was self-confident. Peter made bold promises and then denied Jesus, right? But Jesus still called him. Andrew was quieter. Andrew was often bringing people to Jesus. He brought Peter. He brought the boy with the loaves and fishes. He helped bring the Greeks who wanted to see Jesus. James and John had zeal, but they didn't always have wisdom. Jesus called them the sons of thunder. They once wanted to call fire down on a village. So let's be honest. This was not a polished, perfected group. These were not perfect men, but Jesus called them. And friends, that should encourage you. Why? Because the call of God is not based on your perfection. It is based on his purpose. He does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He does not wait until every rough edge is gone. He calls you, and then he begins to shape you. Mark 1, he said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Notice that phrase, I will make you become. That means they were not what they were going to be. Jesus was saying, if you follow me, I will make you into something you are not yet. And friends, that is discipleship. That is transformation. That is the Christian life. You follow, he forms. You obey, he shapes. You surrender, he develops. You keep walking, he keeps making. So somebody needs to hear that today. Me. But you are not finished and your story is not over. Your current weakness is not the final word. Whatever your personality flaw is not stronger than the grace of God. Your past failure is not stronger than the call of Jesus. But if you will follow him, he will make you become. Wherever you are, just say this today. Say, I am following Jesus. He is forming me. He is shaping me. He is making me become what he called me to be. And come on, that is powerful. Why? Because your confidence is not in your ability to change yourself. Your confidence is in his ability to transform those who follow him. Amen. Before we move on today, I just want to take a quick moment here. And we've been adding this into our Good Morning Live teachings. I felt the Holy Spirit directing us to do this. But I want to take this moment right here because this is a part of why Good Morning Live and the Pioneer Channel exist. We believe that God still calls ordinary people. And how do I know it? Because he called me and used me. Right. I mean, again, if you know the story of the Pioneer Television Network, been in my heart since I was, 16, 17 years old. And it wasn't until 2020 that, I said, I am so sick and tired of this dream living on the inside of my heart. And it's in the middle of COVID and all of that. And I just said, you know what? I'm just going to do this thing. If it doesn't work, the church is half empty anyway. No one's going to be around to really even know. And man, in a few short years, into 255 million homes around the world and growing every day. So don't tell me I don't know that God calls ordinary people. So we believe the word of God today still transforms lives. I believe Jesus still walks into ordinary moments and calls people into eternal purpose. And every time we come on this broadcast, come on, we are working to help people hear that call through the Pioneer Channel, through Good Morning Live, through teaching, through preaching, through interviews, through Christian programming. We are telling the story of Jesus every way possible. So I just want to invite you today, if you've never done it, if you become a Pioneer Media partner, what you do is help us carry that message farther. You help the word go into homes. You help people be strengthened in faith. You reach people who may never walk into a church building, but they can still hear the gospel through a screen, an app, a broadcast, social media. So if this ministry strengthens you and you believe in this God assignment, then I want to invite you to partner with us. Go to ptnnow.com, become a media partner today. And thank you to every person. There are so many of you who are already standing with us. Your giving helps us continue to point people to Jesus. Amen. All right, well, let's keep going in this today. So Jesus calls us to follow before we truly understand. Remember, he said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. Now that sounds simple, but it is not shallow. This was not Jesus saying, add me to your life. This was Jesus saying, fit me into your schedule, right? Hey, it wasn't Jesus saying, hey guys, consider me when it's convenient. This was a command, follow me. That means come after me, walk with me, submit to me, learn from me. Let my direction become your direction. Let my priorities become your priorities. Let my mission become your mission. And notice this, Jesus did not explain everything to them. He didn't say, all right, guys, here's your 3-year calendar, right? He did not say, here is every miracle you will see. He did not say, here is every storm you will face. He did not say, here is every place you will go. He simply said, follow me. And isn't that how faith works? God often gives you enough light for the next step, not the whole staircase. I heard somebody say this years ago, but they said, faith is walking to the edge of darkness. So you're in light. It's walking to the edge of what you can see, darkness beyond what you can see, and taking one more step. He gives you the command before he gives you all the details. And this is where many people get stuck. They want full understanding before obedience. But obedience comes often before full understanding. You do not have to know every step to simply take the next step. You do not have to know the whole journey to say yes today. You do not have to know how God is going to work everything out to obey what he has already spoken. But the adventure begins when you simply say yes. I love Hebrews 11:8, where it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. I don't know about you, but come on, that's faith. That I'd have some trouble with. I don't know if I've ever told this story before. I think it's worth repeating if I have, but I'll never forget. And, you know, I grew up, my mom pastored a little storefront church in the town of Columbia here in Lancaster County. And, I saw some things in my life and I will never forget. We had Saturday prayer and it was during a Saturday prayer meeting. They were praying over a map. My mom was real big. You were praying over maps. And she was looking at a map praying. And suddenly this little town, Bakersfield, Florida, just stuck out to her. And she, at the end of the prayer meeting, said, God wants us to go to Bakersfield, Bakersfield, Florida. And he said, when we get there, he'll show us what to do. And, you know, of course, I'm like 11, 12 years old. And I'm thinking, you know, mom's finally lost it, you know, but there were some people there full of faith. I'll never forget Kay Yoder was her name. I believe she's still around. Maybe she's watching today, but Kay and her husband, Carl, and I think Carl went home to be with the Lord. They were like, yeah, let's go for an adventure. Right. And that's what I'm talking about. Adventure. So Kay and Carl and me and my mom got into a van and we drove down to Florida. Now I do got to confess, we did stop at Disney World in the process, but went to Florida and went to Bakersfield, not knowing at all what the assignment was, what we were looking for. But on the, and I don't know if it was on the way down or while we were down there in the hotel, Kay, God had a dream where God showed her a white church building with sand. So we drove into Bakersfield, Florida, and there was a church on every corner. And okay, God, what? So we stopped at a little gas station, and Kay Yoder went in and said, hey, I'm looking for, describe this church that I saw, a little white church building surrounded by sand. And of course, we're in Florida, so it's, you know, it's probably a lot. But the guy was like, oh, in Bakersfield, that really is only one church like that, and told us where it was. Pulled up, and there's a bunch of cars in the parking lot. It's this little white church. And my mom gets out and knocks on the door, and the pastor comes out. And my mom says, hey, you don't know me. I don't know you, but I live in Pennsylvania and God sent me. And she's just started to prophesy to this man about not giving up, not quitting. God wants him to stay the course. And this man starts weeping because what was happening is, and this is a miracle, this board for this church only ever met every other month. And this happened to be the time they were meeting. What a God. And he was there to submit his resignation to the board that day. And right before he was getting ready to do it, and listen, this is not a story from, you know, Smith Wigglesworth and the glory. I was there. I'm sitting in the back of a van watching all of this happen. He brought us into the church. This man is weeping. Just in amazement. Are you for real that you're from Pennsylvania? We told him the story. And of course, he stayed in ministry. Right. So, and I'm submitting that to you because God, I grew up in that, this type of environment, the adventure of God, not just stepping out in faith, not always knowing what the next step is, where we're even going. Go to Bakersfield. I'll tell you when you get there. Right. And that's exactly where Abraham went out, not knowing where he was going. But listen, when you know who is leading, that is the difference. You may not know everything about your path, but you can know the shepherd. You may not know all the details, but come on, you can trust his voice. So when Jesus says, follow me, the safest place you will ever be is in obedience. You don't need all the details when you trust the one giving the direction. So surrender expands your life. Consider this. Before Jesus called them, their world was the Sea of Galilee. That was their work, their routine, their business, their life. But when they followed Jesus, their world expanded. Peter would preach on the day of Pentecost and thousands would be saved. John would write the Gospel of John, three letters and Revelation. James would become a bold witness and the first of the apostles to be martyred. Andrew would be remembered as the one who brought people to Jesus. So what am I saying? Their lives became bigger than they could have ever imagined. And this is what happens when you follow Jesus. Surrender doesn't shrink your life. It's not where the fun stops. It's not missing out. Surrender expands your life. Now, it may not always expand it in the way your flesh expects, right? It may not always mean comfort. It may not always mean convenience. Again, one of the disciples was the first to be martyred. It may not always mean applause, but it will always mean, here's what you got to know. It will always mean purpose. It will always mean eternal fruit. It will always mean your life becomes connected to something bigger than yourself. And friends, that is what many people are missing. They are trying to build a life, but Jesus is calling them to build a purpose. They are trying to protect comfort, but Jesus is inviting them into adventure. They're trying to stay in control, but Jesus is saying, no, don't worry so much about control. Follow me. And here's the truth. A life you control can only become as big as you can make it. But a life surrendered to Jesus can become bigger than anything you ever imagined. What does Ephesians say? Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God is able to do more than you can ask or even think. But surrender is the doorway. So say this today, Lord, my life belongs to you. My future belongs to you. My gifts belong to you. My yes belongs to you. Lead me and I will follow. And friends, that is where adventure begins. So the call today, as we close this up, the call is still follow me. Jesus is still calling people today, maybe not audible from the shore of Galilee, but he's calling you through his word and through the Holy Spirit and through conviction and through open doors and through holy discomfort sometimes, through the stirring of your heart that says, don't settle, there's more. And the call is still the same. Follow me out of compromise. Follow me out of fear. Follow me out of self-dependence. Follow me out of small thinking. Follow me into obedience. Follow me into purpose, into transformation. Follow me into the life I created for you to live. So I want to ask you today, what is your next yes? Not your maybe. Not your someday yes, not your when everything makes sense yes. What is your next yes? Maybe it's forgiving someone. Maybe it's serving. Maybe it's giving. Maybe it's stepping into ministry. Maybe it's sharing your faith. Maybe it's coming back to prayer. Maybe it's laying down something that has held you back. But it is simply saying, Lord, I have been trying to control this, and today I surrender. Whatever it is, do not delay. When Jesus calls, respond. The disciples immediately left their nets and followed him. Friends, there is power in immediate obedience. Delayed obedience often gives fear time to talk. People who love you but just aren't following God or discerning God, time to talk. Delayed obedience gives excuses time to grow. Delayed obedience gives your flesh time to negotiate. But immediate obedience says, Jesus is Lord. His word is enough. His call is worthy of my yes. So today, let your heart say yes. So let me pray for you today. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you that Jesus still calls ordinary people into extraordinary purpose. Thank you that you do not wait until we are perfect to begin working in us. But you call us. You make us become. So Lord, give us ears to hear your call. Give us hearts that are quick to obey. Help us not despise ordinary moments. Help us recognize when you are speaking. And wherever we have been delaying obedience, give us grace to say yes today. We surrender our plans, our timing, our comfort. We surrender our need to control. And Jesus, we choose to follow you. And for anyone who's never surrendered their life to Christ today, this is the day. Don't delay. Pray this from your heart. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose again. I repent. I turn from my old life and I turn to you. Forgive me. Save me. Make me new. I choose to follow you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, come on. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to encourage you, don't delay. Go to ptnnow.com, click on the Know God tab. We have some free resources we just want to put in your hand to help you stay connected in this journey of faith that you said yes to, help you follow God forward. Again, if the Lord is encouraging you or laying on your heart to partner with us, go to ptnnow.com and you can find all the details there. Thank you for being on with me today. It is a privilege and an honor as always. We are learning to surrender more and more here on Good Morning Live. But remember that God loves you. He's not mad at you. And he's got a wonderful plan for your life. Bye-bye for now.
Good Morning Live is made possible by the prayers and generosity of faithful partners and friends like you. Thank you for helping us proclaim Jesus, encourage believers, and impact lives around the world. To learn more, visit ptnnow.com.